You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
I think the hoodie is as much responsible for Trayvon Martin's death.
Just because someone wears a hoodie does not make them a hooligan.
The member will suspend.
An elderly couple has reportedly fled their home after director Spike Lee retweeted their address.
I have no problem with folks saying Obama cares. I do care.
If it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck, which means it's a mandate.
What it has to do with brotherhood of men on the planet Earth. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
We interrupt this program
for some random movie clips. Voices from some of the top stories of the week. One voice from a massively viral video of a Canadian man singing Queen in the back of a cop car. If you have not seen that video, highly recommended. But we want to take a closer look at what's going on with our panel of social, political, and pop experts. Kai Wright joins us today, editor of Color Lines. Also Ron Christie, Takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist. And Art Kaplan. Art, I'm told your official title is soon to be professor of bioethics at New York University.
Futuristic.
Yeah, that's right. A little bit of a job change there.
Congrats.
Thank you all for joining us. Congratulations and happy Friday to all three of you. Let's begin with the Trayvon Martin case. You heard the voices there talking about the hoodie. But let's talk a little bit about the reaction to this case. And Spike Lee is just one example of what some people say is a misstep in how to respond to this case. Kai, what do you think about the Spike Lee publish? First of all, his decision to publish George Zimmerman's address. He thought it was George Zimmerman's address.
Yeah, and then turned out to be an elderly
innocent
couple that
yeah.
had nothing to do with it. It's a cautionary tale for all of us when our emotions run high in places like Twitter. Good for Spike for taking responsibility for his behavior, getting with the McClanes. They have a settlement of some sort.
He's doing a movie about it now. Actually,
there will be a movie. I want to be very clear that I don't want to be in the position of defending Spike Lee for tweeting innocent people's addresses. But, you know, I think it speaks to that this case has really touched a nerve for a lot of folks. In both small and big ways, it set off some very deep emotional and familiar alarms for a lot of people.
And Ron, I think the danger here is this could become politicized instead of something that really emotionally touches any American, regardless of what your party is, don't you think?
I do. Good morning, Celeste. And the thing that worries me the most about this case is we need justice. We need cooler heads to prevail. We need folks to take a strong, dispassionate look at what happened in this case, analyze the facts, bring it before a jury of one's peers, and let that be the deciding factor. But now you have folks politicizing this. You have Bobby Rush from the old Black Panther Party, now a member of Congress, wearing a hoodie on the floor of the House of Representatives. And this is not good for the American society right now. I just worry that we are about to have a clash based on race and politics in America, which we absolutely don't need right now in the 21st century.
I mean, there's a dead 17-year-old boy who was unarmed.
You can't get away from that.
You know, I mean, to say we're suddenly about to have a race clash, there's a dead 17-year-old boy who, from all we can tell, is dead because he was black. And so, and he was blamed for wearing it. The popular conversation at one point became about his hoodie. So good for Bobby Rush for standing up and saying, that's crazy. This is about this kid being killed.
Can I just touch on that? I absolutely disagree with that. We can't say, oh, just because he was black, oh, he was shot. And oh, good for Bobby Rush for wearing a hoodie on the floor of the House. The House of Representatives has rules of decorum and ethics. And when we start deciding, and you can chuckle all you want, but when we start breaking down our rules in society, this is exactly the fear that I have of what this case has wrought on America.
Amongst the rules is we don't murder people.
Let me jump in here and just say, it seems to me this isn't about tweeting and it isn't about decorum in the House. The real issue in this is how come there wasn't going to be an investigation of this death. And it's incredible to me that people are willing to go off on any other paths. The real core question is, this kid got shot. he's dead, and no one proposed to investigate it further.
That, until weeks later.
That in itself is a scandal.
All right, well, let's move on to another topic of conversation, which will also continue to be news for quite some time, at least until we get the decision in June. That, of course, is the Supreme Court and the deliberations over health care. They're going to take a secret vote today, and then a lot of back and forth between all the justices. But, Art, let me begin with you, since you're the professor of bioethics, and to a certain extent, isn't the debate over health care in a certain way about bioethicism?
Oh, absolutely, Celeste. Look, we treat health care as if it's an insurance problem. It isn't. It's something that all of us use. It's something that each one of us needs. That's why I'm so sad to see this whole thing pivoting on the constitutionality of the mandate. Of course each one of us should be paying something toward health care. We're going to use it as a baby. We're going to use it as a kid. We're going to use it as an older person. And at some point we'll get injured or sick. We're going to need some health care. Each one of us should do what we can to pay for it. That's the ethical case for putting all of us into some sort of pool of people that shares the cost of that particular service that we have to have. But the court is taking it on as a kind of constitutional question. Can the federal government impose this kind of tax on all of us, so to speak? And it doesn't square up with the moral responsibility to say, look, everybody needs health insurance. Everybody's got to put something in the kitty.
Ron, I got to wonder, you know, Reagan's former Solicitor General, they asked him why the individual mandate, which used to be a real common rallying cry of the conservatives, has now become something conservatives opposed. He said it's only about politics. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely not. No, this is about government overreach and the expansion of government power. Never in the history of the United States have you had the American government dictate to a citizen and say, you shall buy a particular good or service, and we will, under the power of the United States, penalize you should you elect not to buy that particular good or service. This isn't so much a case about health care. It's a case about where are the bounds in the Commerce Clause under Article 1, Section 8. Does the government have an ability to compel a citizen to do something that they elect not to do? And I think Justice Kennedy was exactly right when he asked the Solicitor General, where are the boundaries? Where are the limits? And where does the government have a responsibility to compel someone?
Just as a matter of principle, having 40 million uninsured Americans running around getting their care at the ER isn't worth this kind of dilettante point about the constitutionality of the mandate. I mean, for public policy purposes, shouldn't everybody get health insurance and shouldn't everybody pay something?
Well, I think health insurance is a very important principle that people should elect on their own to do. 40 million is actually not the correct number. But this is what worries me about folks on the left. Oh, shouldn't we just compel people? I mean, it's a very important thing. If we go ahead and do that, then the Constitution of this country means nothing, and we might as well just be a dictatorship. We have a constitution of enumerated powers. That is why we're the United States of America.
So I believe the number is 46 million.
It's actually 16 million. When you look at the people who elect on their own not to buy insurance, and this is the inflated.
So there are 46 million uninsured people in the United States.
Now, the number is closer to 16 million.
So I think
the number is wrong, because I think, again, everybody should get covered because everybody uses the service.
What we're seeing here is the incredible divide. I mean, what we're seeing here between you three guys is the argument that's going on in the United States, which is to a certain extent is healthy, as long as in the end what we end up with is something that makes the country healthier either way. Let me move on really quickly, because we're not going to have a decision from the Supreme Court, and finally talk about what's been going on with Apple and Fox. I wonder, Kai, if you think it's fair that Apple has come out as kind of the villain here. I mean, what's going on in the factory? The investigation has shown that, you know, there are numerous violations. But isn't this something that could possibly be found out about a number of different corporations in the world?
They are the villain. That's why they're the villain. Yeah. They're the villain.
Yeah, I mean, so I sit here with my brand new shiny iPad.
Yes.
And I have my brand new shiny iPhone in my pocket.
Right.
And, you know, the bottom line is that we all exist in an economy, not all of us, but many of us exist in an economy where the idea is that people somewhere else will produce something very cheap that I will consume. And we have agreed, and whether it's an Apple product or a whole bunch of,
and we don't
want to know why it's so cheap. You know, that cuts broadly across our economy, and it has all kinds of echo effects. for labor in China, for labor in the United States. It has all kinds of echo effects. And that's the core question.
Art, could this then be spread to other corporations and become a movement to maybe, I mean.
Let's hope so. And it should be, you know, really having us live off the backs of exploited labor under crummy conditions, ethically inexcusable. I really do hope this spreads.
Art Kaplan, soon to be professor of bioethics at New York University. Kai Wright is the editor of Color Lines, and Ron Christie, takeaway contributor, Republican political strategist, and contributor to It's a Free Country. Thank you, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Have a great weekend, everyone. If you want to catch up on any of those stories, visit thetakeaway.org. Listeners are talking about the $540 million Mega Millions jackpot on our Facebook page. Organizers say it is a world record. Listener Eric is thinking strategy. Two words, office pool, transforms my $5 into 100 chances to win. Good luck, Eric. And have a great weekend thinking all about that. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.